Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in to another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. Twin Flame Radio. Yes, fam, we got another great show lined up for you today. Today, we are going to be going in on traditional relationships, overrated or undervalued. But before we get started, let me introduce myself. My name is Divine Queen, and I am here with my enlightened and handsome king. Chris, say what's up to the fam.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Cristobal. You are très jolie aujourd'hui, mademoiselle.
Ooh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I just said my name is Chris Light.
And then you said, I look beautiful today, miss.
I did say that. You Francais understanding thing, you?
I took French.
You did. I took French kiss.
Are you getting fresh because we're talking about relationships today?
Indubitably. Yeah. I stay fresh, though. Fresh to death. I'm old.
Yeah, you are.
Give me some skin, blood. For here, cold chilling.
Man, I'm about to do this funky two-step with you. Sorry for the old heads online. So yeah, fam, today we are going in on a good show. We are going to be pretty much, we've gotten a lot of requests with people asking us to do a relationship show. And since here on Twin Flame, we are all about the love. We had to, you know, give it to the fam because that's what they want. So we pretty much are going to be going in. We had a request wanting to talk about the traditions of how relationships work. They wanted us to go in on why is it that the way that used to be that relationships and marriage and courtship and everything work is not really valued in this day and age. So we're going to go in on the pros and cons of both and pretty much just talking about, you know, how it can benefit you or, you know, maybe not. You know, it just depends on you pretty much. And just finding out what works best for you. But before we do that, we're going to do like we do every show and let's talk about what we want to talk about because we pay the bills.
And that's what we do.
That's right. So what do you want to talk about, Chris?
I want to talk about this sovereign life. We're living the sovereign, 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 sovereign. Old heads. But yeah, man, we're really enjoying, being sovereign, working for ourselves, getting up when we want to go. I'm so excited. We're just really enjoying doing what we want to do when we do it. We're working when we want to work. We're being very productive. I feel as if I'm working harder now than I was when I was in the office.
Oh, I agree.
But I'm loving what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's the difference. Yeah. You know, it's one thing when you're working hard for someone else, but when you're working hard for yourself and you're seeing a direct effect of your hard work, that's a blessing right there.
It's a big difference between being paid to help someone that you never see or never talk to you.
And don't appreciate you.
Versus someone telling you, thank you, I really appreciate you. The law of reciprocity seems to be magnified when you help people directly versus helping somebody rich from afar that doesn't care about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing about this sovereign life that I'm loving that we all have the potential to do. It's just that we need to reconstruct our minds on how we feel as if we need to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But we're brought up thinking you need to go to college, get a degree, and get a job.
And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. But if that's not what you want to do, a lot of people aren't cut out for college. A lot of people aren't cut out for working for someone else.
Right.
You know, so I don't think that you should feel pressured into living that type of life.
Right.
You know, it kind of falls in line with our topic today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grew up with our parents telling us that, you know, you're supposed to date this way and you're supposed to get married and have this type of life and live like this. And that didn't work for us.
It didn't work for us.
We did the opposite.
I seen you in them tight jeans. I'm saying, bruh, forget tradition. Forget tradition. But 24 years later, it worked. So, we got lucky.
You know, you just got to find your lane and stick with it.
You got to find your lane.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we one of the things that we've been doing since we've been off is we've been brainstorming on how to make Twin Flame a bigger entity, more bigger and powerful than what it's already been.
Mm-hmm.
We really appreciate our audience and the people who pay for our consultations and buy our books and, you know, support the show and follow us on social media. We really love you guys for the love, and we want to give you more. So one of the things that we are going to be working on, that we're currently working on, is introducing Twin Flame Eats.
Mm.
And if you know Chris and I, we are foodies.
Yeah.
We love to eat.
I think the best thing we do is eat.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the best thing we do.
It's top two.
It's top.
Because no one can eat like us.
Six.
We like to eat. We love to eat delicious food.
We do.
Damn.
And we travel a lot. So we are going to be popping a lot of places here locally in Cincinnati, of course, because that's where we're from.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whenever we go out of town, we're going to be hitting up places and just, you know, doing our thing. We're going to show you some pictures and write blogs about it and just tell you about what's good and what's, you know, some things not. We've had some things that were like a big letdown.
Yeah, that one little brain I had that one time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was like a coagulated brain. And, I'll try anything. And I tried it and I cut into it and it like reformed itself.
Yeah, you cut it apart and it molded back together.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? So I went ahead and tasted it.
Ate it anyway.
And I had to spit it right out.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't for me. I'm not a really brain guy. Yeah. That's another story. But what did we do this weekend, man?
What did we do this weekend? We went shopping. We, you got some more beads.
I got some more beads. Yeah.
We went out to eat. We went to Wild Ginger. We went to the health food store. Picked up a couple of healthy items. Because we like to eat, we're still trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get this Operation Fat Be Gone into full effect.
Mm-hmm. Operation Bring Sexy Back.
Yeah. Operation, there she is.
Operation, man, you fat. Not no more, though. I kicked it with my niece, nephew, mother, my little nephew, Chris, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time with them. It's always good. Sometimes I be so busy, I forget about the little things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just see my niece and nephews, they're growing up so quick. They're so beautiful and just so intelligent. They remind me of a little me and my little sister. So
yeah.
I made it a point to see them at least 3 to 4 times a month now.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we've really just been busy doing a lot of, you know, our own stuff, working for ourselves, working on our new books that are coming out,
mm-hmm.
working on our spiritual work. You know, people that know us know that we're all about spirituality, so we're always doing altar work and ancestor work and working with the gods and the angels mm-hmm. and spells and magic and
mm-hmm.
all that delicious stuff.
We don't even cut the TV on to like 7. We didn't cut on to 7:30 today. We were just spirit.
Yeah.
YouTube videos. I mean, we were just going in a day.
Yeah. We talked to a lot of the fam today.
We did.
The Tybro Foundation, Tybro family had a seminar this past weekend. And so we, unfortunately, were not at this one, but a lot of our family members were there. And they were just, everyone was calling us, talking about how amazing it was and how exciting it was. And
mm-hmm. yeah, spiritually jealous.
Spiritually jealous.
But, you know, we went to the last 9 in a row. It's like,
yeah.
come on.
Yeah. And plus, we had things to do, you know, so. But we'll be at the next one.
Facts. Las Vegas, here we come in November.
Cute.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, you ready to get in on the show?
Let's get it in, baby.
Get it in. All right. So I want to remind the fam, if you want to call in and ask a question or if you have a comment or if you just want to say what up, our phone number here is 619-924-0835. And if you're already online, you can just hit the number 1 and that will let us know that you want to come through. And that's what we'll do. We'll bring you through.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and start it out.
Yeah.
So basically, we are going to be going in on the differences between traditional and non-traditional relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go ahead and start us off, Chris?
Yeah, I want the people to realize that your relationship is unique to your energy and your mate's energy. Me personally, I'm not a fan of tradition. Now, tradition has its place if everyone's being traditional. But if you got 5 people being traditional and 100 people being untraditional, eventually, the untraditional aspects of the relationships are going to take over those few traditional relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And tradition doesn't always work because who's setting these traditions? You know, we live in a different age now.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of traditional relationships, it was like the man working and the woman at home cooking and cleaning. But it's kind of hard for the woman to be doing some of the man aspects, like going to work, waking up just like him, and then coming home and still doing their traditional duties. They don't have the time and the energy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If a man goes to work all day and a woman goes to work all day and they both get home at the same time, if you love your mate, it's not fair for them to still be doing all the cooking, all the cleaning, all the tending to the kids. You're going to wear your mate out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to cause what I call a miasm in their mind,
mm-hmm.
where it's going to reconstruct their thoughts to thinking like, man, I'm not happy here.
I'm not appreciated.
I'm not appreciated,
mm-hmm.
you know? So what me and Divine Queen had done in our relationships, we both worked and we both did the duties.
Mm-hmm.
I would cook, she would cook. She would clean, I would clean. And we divvied up the duties. And in the beginning,
and sometimes neither one of us cooked or cleaned.
We're going out today. Yeah, I don't feel like cooking. You feel like cleaning? No, let's go out then. Yeah, wash your butt, bust up. We good. We clean bodies.
All fine.
Yeah, but you know we're not nasty people, so it's just 2 of us.
I don't know. What I mean by cooking and cleaning is that you know you come home and. You know, especially the jobs that we had extremely stressful, wearing, kill your joy type jobs.
Yeah, we did.
So when you got home, the last thing you felt like doing was sitting out something to eat, to cook, and then later cleaning up afterwards. It wasn't happening. So when we had a really rough day, instead of just going home and neither one of us wanting to do it and we knew that each other were tired and we had a hard day, we just treat ourselves to a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about traditional versus non-traditional, people aren't being brought up in traditional ways.
No.
So when you think about getting into a relationship and you haven't been brought up in or even can conceive what tradition is, it's kind of hard to act traditional because you haven't seen what traditional was.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we created our own tradition.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So our relationship is unique and it's dynamic and it's completely different from anyone else's relationship that we've ever seen or fathomed seeing.
We call it the enlightened divine establishment.
That's it. But what we did in the beginning, we seen what we were both good at.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just flourished in those areas. Okay, you good at that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you do that. I'm not good at that.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. And over time, we learned. We were able to teach each other, okay, this is how I do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'll still do it, but, you know, this is how I do it. You know?
And even if it was something that, you know, you were better at or that I was better at, you know, we would relieve each other of that. Just because that person is better at it doesn't mean that they don't deserve a break from it.
Right.
You know, you weren't good at doing Devin's hair when
at
she was
all.
Little. But, you know, there were times when I had to work a different shift and you had to take over and, you know, you made it work.
I made it work.
You know, it wasn't the greatest.
Wasn't the greatest.
But
she
made it work.
It was reputable. She looked like her daddy did her hair. You know, and she was with me. So they were like, yep, he did it. He did it. Yeah.
Right. You know, there are times where, you know, I do majority of the laundry. And every once in a while, you'll, you know,
yeah.
surprise me and do your own laundry.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you wash your own drawers this month?
I wash my own drawers, baby. I was getting low. You look tired. So I said, let me cut the water on, put a little Tide in there. I can do that. Hit start. I'm good. You know, I used to be good with the finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen you getting stressed out. I said, baby, I can take it over. I took it over for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you was like, I was like, you know what? I'm done worried about this money.
Yeah, and now
you
I'm
take
doing
it. You take it. I don't even want to see it. I just want to shop.
Yeah. You love to shop.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah, but that's how you do. You know, you relieve your partner, especially when you see them starting to get stressed and drained. You know, you want to relieve them from those duties every once in a while. And if you love your mate, you won't have a problem doing that.
You know, one thing I want to share, Jewel, about finances with the family.
Mm-hmm. Finances is the number one
reason why couples break up.
Mm-hmm.
When you split up the energy of the money, you also add to the negativity of the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got two different financial entities that are funneling into one spot versus having one big reservoir that you both can pull from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the bigger things in the union. When you have a union, everything is united. You can't have a union of nothingness. You'll breed a relationship that's not going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have financial issues, bring all your money together and you discuss everything together.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got one person making more than the other and the other person's not making as much, you're still trying to meet each other in the middle, it's not going to work like that. Someone's going to lose, okay? So just be mindful of that, family, okay? When you're in a relationship with someone, think about each other as a whole, one cohesive unit. And we do everything like that. Everything we split right down the middle. It's not even really split down the middle because what I make, she makes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just how we roll, and we've been winning like that for almost 25 years now. See, I'm like, effortlessly.
Yeah.
That's one thing I want people to realize in a relationship. If it's a whole bunch of work, you didn't choose good.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, you know, add a leg, put an eyeball in their head, you know, do things like that.
Add a brain.
You didn't choose good. Mm-hmm. You know?
You know, when you talk about tradition, you touched on something where you said that the tradition that we most people know of is with the woman, the wife being at home, cooking, taking care of the kids while the husband went out and made a living. And I remember when, as we were growing up, the shows that weren't really on when we were on, but the syndication shows, though, that was the kind of vibe that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were growing up, we had shows that showed more of the two parents working at the same time, coming home, taking care of their children together, taking care of responsibilities together.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, the Huxtables and I know
Married with Children.
Well, she didn't work.
She didn't work. But I think the Huxtables.
Roseanne, you know, they both worked, and, you know, trying to pull different areas, but, you know, shows like that. But nowadays, this new tradition that is coming over is that, you know, there's a lot of men who are now staying home, taking care of the kids, doing more of the cooking,
house
doing
husband.
More of the house cleaning.
House husband.
Yeah.
And claiming I'm a house husband.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, if I'm a fan of, and this is just me, you know, I'm a fan of when you have children that there should be a primary parent more engaged at home.
The best one, the more nurturing one needs to be there.
Yeah.
Because if you're making seven figures, you best believe I'm staying home. You best believe it.
Right.
Because I'm a great nurturer. You know what I'm saying? I'm a great nurturer. Always have been. But, you know, my mom was always at work growing up. And I had my sister a lot with me. So from the age of nine, I was pretty much not raising a child, but I understood the energy of a child. We're like 9 years apart, me and my sister. So I was always, you know, being nurturing to her, taking care of her. So I was used to taking care of someone. So by the time we got together and I had my daughter, I was already on point with everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have always been, you've done the majority of the cooking
mm-hmm.
in our family. You know, I cook, but you do majority of the cooking.
My cooking tastes delicious.
It does.
Yours does too.
Yeah.
I just think I've been doing it longer though. You know?
You know, you enjoy it more than I do.
I'm a kitchen witch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you deal with like herbs and magic. I deal with tantalizing taste bud treats.
You deal with seasons and meats.
Seasoning, meats, grilling, making sauces and all that good stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's the lane we're in. We understand that.
You know, I remember back in the day, there was like this thing where, you know, if you were dating someone, if you liked someone, it started out with you telling that person that you liked them, and then you kind of went through this, you know, a little flirtatious stage, and then you started dating, then you started a relationship, meaning mm-hmm. A sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from there you met the parents, or maybe before you met the parents or whatever. You got engaged, you start living together, you got married, but I say skippy. But that's not how it necessarily works these days.
No.
You know, some people do it, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. But nowadays, people are not really courting each other, not really getting to know each other. They are just jumping into relationships, having sex, having babies, and then breaking up.
You know, that's one of the downfalls of relationships these days, because it takes time. You know, I'm well aware of the universal law of vibration,
mm-hmm.
and it takes time for you to sync energies. And sometimes what happens if you don't court first, you don't allow the universe or your energies to mesh well together.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go out and let your carnal, your root chakra energies mix and you want to have sex real quick, you don't have anything to look forward to in the courting phase.
There's nothing special anymore.
It's kind of like eating cookies before dinner. You're like, I had some cookies. I'm not going to eat as much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied.
Even though the protein and the vegetables is what's really good to you, you got a feeling off of something that wasn't necessarily, that was satisfactory, but isn't going to help you.
You know, one of relationships are devalued because a lot of people see value in a low level of the relationship, and that's the sex. And the real meat, the real substance of every relationship is a union between your divine selves.
Mm-hmm.
Once you connect with your mate's soul, whether they get old, they get fat, they get skinny, they lose a limb, they get sick, you're going to love them unconditionally. But if you're just attracted to the sex part of it, the sex changes over time, and it goes up and it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
But the love should always stay strong, firm. And that's one thing a lot of people don't give time to develop over time. You got to court first and develop a friendship, and that friendship is what's going to carry you through the tough times. But a lot of people don't develop that friendship, and when their challenging times happen, the anger that they feel within the challenge is pointed directed at their friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's only natural for you to want to buck back if someone bucking at you.
Exactly.
But I've learned early on in our relationship, you can either be right or you can be happy. You mm-hmm. can either be right, I told you so, I'm right, or you can let them feel as if they're right and keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a detriment to them, I would say you need to let them know. But there's one thing you got to realize in relationships. If you have a And what in a relationship, there's always one person with a bigger ego than the other one. The bigger person.
Who has the bigger ego between us?
It depends on what we're doing. It depends on what we're doing. Because I think when it comes to like me as in the house, I think you have a bigger ego. You'd like to be right. But out in public, like if danger's around, I'm like, girl, sit down. I got this.
Mm.
You know, so it all depends on what we're doing and where we're at. It depends on the situation.
For the record, I like to be right because I am right. But go ahead.
Yeah, she likes to be right. Even though I know I'm right, I say, okay, you're right. And I'm good with that. Even though I know I'm right.
You know what? I'm going to let you have this one because I know I'm right. So go ahead.
I'm going to let you know because I'm already right and I'm always right.
Well, you just go ahead.
I'm just playing with the family. I'm just playing with the family. But you got to have fun with it. We get off, like instead of arguing, we cap on each other.
Oh, we cap on each other.
Like, don't big head go on in there, man. Stop playing. But we don't do it with negative intent.
No, we don't do it to a disrespect.
We don't disrespect. I've never raised my voice at you. I've never cursed at you. Mm-hmm. That's just not what I do to my queen. And no matter what's going on, we should always talk to each other like civilized beings.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start cursing and disrespecting each other,
mm-hmm.
you break that first disrespect step, and then it keeps going up. Next thing you know, you're screaming and just throwing stuff, and it may escalate to even hitting. But if you never take that first step, you never get to that level. And regardless of what's going on, I would rather you not speak to me for a day or two than we just arguing for 5 days.
So in a way, we did take a traditional, you know, lane when it came to building our relationship. Because although we didn't do the traditional thing with, you know, getting married, then having kids, you know, getting married, then living together, then having kids.
Mm-hmm.
We did that part kind of backwards. But we did, you know, build on a traditional style as far as building a friendship and a real relate the core to our relationship before really taking it to that next level. And I believe that when you form a friendship with the person that you're interested in, you know, people tend to value their friends a little more than sometimes their family members, you know, their parents or whatever. And it's not that they love them more, but they care more of how they feel and how they see you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you form a friendship with the person that you're dating and you're in love with or whatever, you kind of carry that into the relationship so that you don't want to do anything that's going to harm them or to make them feel indifferent to you, or, you know, you don't want to hurt their feelings or anything like that. Whereas when you have a family member, you do that kind of stuff, they're always going to be there, so you know they'll get over it. They'll be mad, mm-hmm. but they'll get over it. So, and I think that when you go into a relationship and you don't form that friendship first, that's why you're bumping heads all the time, you know, because mm-hmm. you don't have that respect of, this is my friend, I care about this person, and I don't want to hurt them.
I agree. We had an indirect friendship, though. We were directly friends, but we didn't tell each other we liked each other. So it was like I liked you and I felt like you liked me,
mm-hmm.
but we never really let each other know. So we were just cool with being each other's friend.
Mm-hmm.
But once you let me know, you just had to have me in your life. I threw tradition out the window. Oh, I'm just joking.
Well, yeah, I was non-traditional because I was the one that told you, you want to get with me or what?
I mean, it went like that. You know what I'm saying? I was a cool cat back in the day. I wasn't on emotions because, you know, my mama didn't raise me to be emotional like that.
Excuse me, you like me? You like me too?
I never wrote a note like that to nobody. You had to let me know. You like me? Well, let's go.
Oh, goodness. Anyway. Hey, my mama.
My mama made me like this.
Don't blame on your mama.
Another thing I realized is meeting the parents. These days, you know, traditionally, you find someone you like, you bring them home and let the parents or the grandparents or the cousins sniff them out. Mm-hmm. Where are your intentions? Mm-hmm. What are you meeting? All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These days, you dating for like 8-9 months. You bring them home when you're pregnant or y'all been knocking boots for a while. And by then, it's like, it don't matter what the parents say because y'all are already together.
Or he wasn't or she wasn't introduced as your girlfriend or boyfriend. They were introduced as just your friend.
Yeah, I can smell when someone's just, I can smell like, you ain't no just no friend. Listen, you check her butt out. Friends don't do that.
Friends don't do that.
No.
But yeah, why do you think that is? Why do you think that, you know, these days people don't really bring their significant others home to meet their families?
Because that's a ritual that's dead. And the thing is, children don't realize that it's more for their own protection because they're under the illusion of fantasy and love, and they're blinded.
That puppy love.
But when you bring them around your elders, they'll let you know y'all energies don't match. Your elders have a way of seeing character in someone. They can see traits in your mate that they may have known. You know, they're 60, 50, 60, 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So they know character when they see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they know their child. And they're able to tell, like, this ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't going to work. But kids don't understand that. They look at like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to. No, it ain't about what you want. It's about what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And children these days, they're exposed to so much that they think they know it all.
You know, I think also another thing that plays into it is that parents aren't really making themselves available to be involved in their children's lives so that they can meet the boyfriend or the girlfriend.
Some parents aren't.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say all parents,
yeah,
but some parents aren't active in their children's lives. And
mm-hmm.
so when you have, and you can kind of look at some people and tell, like, oh, their mama ain't around,
mm-hmm.
their daddy ain't around, you know. When they don't have a parental figure around to kind of guide them, then, you know, you end up making a lot of mistakes. You end up finding out things secondhand, you know, you end up finding out things without having the opportunity to get any kind of insight from an adult because you have nothing to base it off of.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I like about bringing your mate home, when your boyfriend or your girlfriend, when they meet your family, it's no longer just the two eyes of your mate on you. You got the whole family looking at you. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you mess up, we're going to jump you.
You remember when you met my family?
Yeah, I remember. I stepped in the door like, I was here.
No, you didn't.
What's good? Who you with? I'm here.
Oh, lie.
You told Harpo to beat me. Yeah, I remember the day I met your entire family. They love me. I'm lovable. I bought all the everybody water guns. And we had barbecue. I met the whole family, your mama, your grandmama, your aunt, your great grandmama, your cousins. I met like 40 people that day.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang.
That was like a holiday gathering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that next weekend, I took all your little cousins. That was like 7 of us. Took them out for pizza.
We went bowling. Mm-hmm.
I spent like $500 that night. And it was the 90s, so it was like $1,000 now. But you know, we had fun.
Mm-hmm.
We had fun.
All right, so what about living together?
Mm.
You know, a lot of people are rushing into living together. I mean, we know people that dated for 30 days and, you know, they moving in together.
I know cats text move in like, you fine. Where you live? I'm bringing the bag. It's like, dang. They text move in these days, man.
Or they come over like, hey, we're going to do Netflix and chill. And they just
never leave. Don't bring no bag, sharing your toothbrush. It's like, man, sharing her toothbrush, bro.
How long does Netflix and chill going to last?
And he catch the bus over there, too. It's like, oh, with no bus fare back. Oh, but that's they boo.
So I think that people rush to live together. You know, I think that, you know, there's different sides to people. You have that when you first meet someone, you have that I can't do anything wrong side. You know, that's that side where you're like, I'm in love with this person. This person is wonderful. Everything they do is just beautiful. I love them to death. And then you have that, you know, we've been dating a while and I'm starting to let some of my faults show. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, okay, you know, yeah. he does this, but, you know, I still love him. It's cool. I can look past that. That's okay. Then you start living together, and the real you comes out.
Yeah.
And you're like, the heck?
Yeah. It doodle smell like that? Oh, my God. I don't know if this is going to work. I got to brush my teeth in this. Oh, God. So these are things you need to find out.
You got to work your way up to those.
You
got to
work your way up to that.
You know, you can't just, bow, here it is.
Yeah.
You know.
I broke myself in small. I brought my toothbrush over. I brought my face rag.
Yeah, you slowly
moved
your way
in. I slowly moved in. I did it like a old school player.
I remember one time my mom went to the bathroom and she was like, whose toothbrush is this?
Went from two to three.
I was like, that's Chris' toothbrush. I'm glad to know he's brushing his teeth when he's here.
Yeah.
We were older, but even.
Yeah, we were like, what, 18?
18, 19.
19, something
mm-hmm.
like that. That's young now.
Yeah, that's young now. I mean, back then it looked like. You
know, that's what they did.
Grown.
My mama got married at 18.
Mine did too.
Your mama was 16. She got 17, something like that.
Yeah.
Young, but we the last of the old school. He's like, they don't get married at all now. They move in and everything. Have 3-4 kids, and 10 years later, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
Not everybody. Just us.
Well, we know some people who took the traditional route, and it's making them, it works for them.
Yeah.
You know, the guy you used to train, him and
John,
his girlfriend,
yeah,
they known each other since what, college?
Since college.
They dated, they ended up moving in together, mm-hmm. They got engaged, they had a kid, they got married, they had more kids.
Yeah.
They're doing great.
Doing well.
You know, so it does work for some people. It's just, you know, is that your thing or not?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, what about when it's one person's thing, but not the other person's thing?
Was that marriage?
Yeah, like the traditional route. Like,
you got to find a common medium.
You do. I agree.
You got to find some traditional things that work and some traditional things that don't work. Because you can only fake it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't brought up in a traditional home and you're trying to act like you want to do traditional things, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. You got to really want it. See, me, I've always wanted a family of my own one day. You know, a lot of kids was thinking about going to the NFL, going to baseball, you know. What they call it? Baseball? What they call baseball?
What's that? Baseball?
Yeah, but it's called something. I don't watch sports. Whatever it's called. NBA, NFL.
Oh, you're talking about that.
Well, we know what we're talking about. I was thinking about, you know what? I would love
NBA,
that.
NBA, isn't it?
That's basketball.
No, that's NBA.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But basketball,
that's,
yeah, I mean, NBA. Baseball is NBA. I don't know.
Let's just drop it. We're old.
We're not old. We just don't watch baseball.
Facts. I forgot what the heck I was talking about.
Baby.
I forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking about?
Being old.
Hey, I don't know what I'm talking about no more, man.
I'm in chat, so.
Yeah, chat on, baby. Chat on. But, yeah, I don't know what else I'm talking about.
So, okay. Another thing that I would say is something that has a lot of traditional values is your spiritual beliefs. It used to be that when you were coming up, if you were of a certain religious sector, that you had to date someone else who was also in that religious group. Whereas these days, people are, you know, what are you? Okay, well, I'm this. We'll make it work. And in some cases, it works. And in some cases, it seems to work until it doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
We were watching this show called The 7-Year Switch.
Ooh, one of my favorite shows.
It's a good show. It's a show about couples who have been together for a minimum of 7 years, married a minimum of 7 years, and have found themselves in that area of the 7-year itch, where after the 7-year marriage, things are just kind of going down. They're not getting along anymore. They're not the same people. They don't have the same values. They're losing interest. The things that they used to be into, they're not into anymore, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And there's this one particular couple where when they first started dating, they were both very religious, and they held their religious values, their Christian values, higher than anything else. And after they got married and years of being together, the husband started realizing that he didn't want to be a Christian anymore. He didn't have the same beliefs and values in Christianity and religion that he once held. And the wife is having a hard time dealing with that because she wants him to go back to how he was. And he doesn't want to be that person anymore. He still loves his wife and he wants to be with his wife, but he wants her to respect him for the new person that he is. She, however, wants him, she still loves him and wants to be with him, but she doesn't want to bend on her values and wants him to go back to being who he was. So, hence, they are in a state of turmoil.
You know, I like that show because it's real. A lot of people aren't aware that every 7 years you go through a transformation. You go into a physical and a mental transformation. And it happens to both people. You know, that's why we do numerology readings. If there's anybody on the line right now, they have some kids, they're going through a relationship, they need to do have a numerology reading done because we can teach them what will happen and how to prevent tumultuous situations in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are life path 6 and I'm a life path 1, I'm a 1 person is like the leader, dominating, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, but a 6 is more of the lover. But if you get married, you got to learn what energy you're going to have to bring into that relationship to make it work. You know, the 6 can't be a 1 because it's just not in a 6 makeup. So what you need to do is subtract the 2. 1 from 6 equals 5. So you know you need to bring a lot of 5 energy in that relationship to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people aren't aware of that science, and that's where a lot of relationships fail. Another thing, when the name changes, it changes the vibration of the woman's dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
She may be a 6, but if she changes her name, the energy that she changes, she may turn to a 1. So now you got this 1 male who was a 1 that loves his loving wife, but now she's a 1 because her name changed, and now she's just as dominant as he is. And they're bickering and they're fighting, and he's like, man, we got married and she changed. And that's real.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people on the Western side of the world don't dive into these sciences. They're not aware of this. And that's why the Indians, the Indians, not the Native Americans, but the Indians have such successful marriage rates. I think they're like really high, like 80-90%, because when their kids, what they do is this. When they're little, they let their kids meet. When they're like 5 years old, and they just play. They never let them know, like, yeah, I'm going to get married one day. They just let them fill out each other's energies.
Mm-hmm.
They play till they're like 7. Then they take them away. Then they introduce them again when they're like 12, 13. They take them away. And then they reintroduce it to them when they're like 18, 19. So by the time they're 19, their energies have really meshed. They've been thinking about their friend. They're missing their friend. They've already courted their friends throughout their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only person that they really had like an intimate relationship with. And then the parents already know by the time they're 18 that they're going to mature and their numbers are going to match up well. And it's only natural for them to flow through the law of vibration and be together. And that's why those relationships work so well.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do that over here. We don't do that over here. We let our child go out and meet some random dude at school that we don't know anything about his lineage. He may be crazy. You know what I mean? It is just like that.
And, you know, that's another point to look into as well, because a lot of the Eastern side, they do arrange marriages. They do arrange relationships and courtings and things of that nature. Whereas with us, you know, we believe in, you know, the idea of having freedom of choice. And that's fine and all, but if you're not doing the proper research into the person that you're choosing, then it may not be the best choice for you. You know, you brought up, you know, meeting someone and they're coming from a crazy lineage. You know, so yeah, what if you do meet someone and you find out, well, their parents are, you know, drug addicts or and prisoners, and you know, and now you're involved with this person, you marry them or you have a baby by them or whatever, and now you're stuck with that energy of their family.
Mm, and it's not the child's fault that their parents are like that. It's just that the energy of the negative and bad choices were introduced to that child's paradigm, and they are aware of those negative choices. So they'll be more prone to make stupid choices than someone that hasn't been introduced into that.
Mm-hmm.
And the word arranged has a bad connotation over here in the Western world, because arranged marriages have a more divine nature than just going out and finding someone you love.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have someone that you align your astrology chart, your numerology chart, and you marry that two together like that,
mm-hmm.
that's a divine union.
Mm-hmm.
That's a union made for the illusion that we're living in. It's kind of like going to school and you're good at math and you're only taking math. You're going to do well in school. You're going to get straight A's.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an athlete, and not saying all athletes are slow or anything, but if you're an athlete and you're not good at math, and that's all they take, you take is math, you're not going to do good. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're a smart dude like me, then put me in anything, I'd do well. But I had bad feet, so I wasn't a great athlete. So, yeah.
You know, that's the great thing about numerology, though, because Chris and I are both certified numerologists, and one of the things, and we also do couple counseling. So one of the things that we always look at whenever we have someone, a couple coming to us asking us advice or asking us for a session or whatnot, the first thing we do is say, we got to add up your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we can tell by the numbers without even speaking to the people, we know what the problem is.
Yeah.
You know, you're having a problem with this. Is that correct? Yes, exactly what's going on. And so with that, it doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship is doomed because you just, your numbers don't mesh. You know, what it is that once you find out what it is that's missing from that relationship and how to apply that extra ingredient to the relationship, if you love that person, you'll be willing to do what you have to do to make it work. And it is work. You know, all relationships are work. People, you know, think that, you know, with Chris and I, we've been together for almost 25 years, and they're like, you know, I just love you guys. Your relationship is beautiful. You guys are awesome. You make it look so easy. It wasn't always easy, you know. It wasn't as hard as I've seen a lot of other relationships be,
mm-hmm.
but we've had our moments where, you know, it wasn't always easy. We had to learn each other. We had to adjust to each other's needs. We had to learn when to step back, you know, and that's part of, you know, making a relationship work, and I think that's traditional and non-traditional, you know, learning to give and to sacrifice and to when to step up and when to take over, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Yeah. One thing I learned in my relationship is not tell you what you want to hear, but just tell you what's real and let you have your own emotions towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do that, you develop a certain level of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. You might not like it, but yeah, this is what happened.
You know, and most people, well, no, I take that back. Everyone should want to know the truth, because if you expect a lie from your spouse, they'll get into the habit of always lying to you. And then instead of lying to you about that dress that doesn't look as flattering on you, they'll start lying to you about, you know, other things, where they been, what they doing, who they doing it with. You know, mm-hmm. it builds a recipe for disaster, you know, because you made it seem that it's okay to lay down this foundation of being untruthful.
It lays the foundation to a distrust weed seed, and weeds just grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to kill
a weed
out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to second guess everything that they say, you know? And that's real. So truth, just be real, regardless of what it is. Because when you say the truth is a closed-ended statement, when you lie, you got to remember to lie. You got to keep lying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not fair to your mate. One thing I'm imploring people that are listening now and in the future, fall in love with your mate's soul, because the soul transcends time. The body, it withers and dies. It changes, but the soul stays the same. When you look into your mate's eyes, you still see the same person you fell in love with every day. If you're not feeling that way, be truthful with them. Like, you know what? I'm blind. I don't see it anymore. Be truthful. Just be truthful, man.
You know, so there's so much more to traditional and non-traditional relationships outside of just a male and female loving relationship. You know, there's also the different aspects of different relationships. You know, you have your friendships, you have your coworkers, your family members, your acquaintances, your spiritual groups, you know, everything. So what do you want to add in with traditional versus non-traditional and those different types of relationships? Also, the most important one, a relationship with yourself, which we'll touch on that last. But
you know, when it comes to friends, most people meet their friends in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So you're meeting someone in a breeding ground when no one wants to be there. So just think about that. You're meeting your friends at a place where no one wants to be. And then everyone has a mask on. I'm not who I am for real at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm cool with work people at work. But outside of work, I don't talk to them fools.
You know what I found is that the people who have the most genuine friendships are the people that have had the same friends for years.
Yeah.
You know, that they grew up together, they went to school together or something like that. But usually when you have friends in the workplace, the friendships don't always last as long. And I think that a big part of that is because of the whole mask.
Yeah, it's the fair weather friends.
Mm-hmm.
But the traditional friendship where you have from schooling, the switch up of that, the negative side of that is you usually grow apart.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you feel as if, well, we've been friends for 20 years. No matter what they're doing, I got to still be their friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's been 20 minutes, 20 days, 20 months, 20 years. When you burn me once, we're done for life. That's how I roll, though. I don't have no... I've cut people off I've been cool with for 30 years. Like, mm-hmm. You know what? You burned me. Peace and love, bro. No ill. I ain't going to talk bad about you. You just no longer resist. One thing I want people to realize is this. If you allow negativity to stay in your life, you create a void for negativity to burrow deep within you. But when you cut that negative void out, you open up a void for more positivity in your life. I don't care who it is, family member, siblings, you got someone that's negative, is not doing you right, you got to cut them out like a cancer or something like that. I talk about this in my book, Poverty Consciousness. I talk about this book in Wealth Consciousness. I even talk about this in my book of poems. I mask it very eloquently in my wordings. But I drop jewels like that in all my books. In my next book, I'll share it. This is the first time I've shared it. It's going to be called Relationship Consciousness.
Ooh.
And it's dealing with the relationship that you have with yourself, your human self, your spiritual self, your divine self, families, friends, all facets of relationships. And it's going to be a banger. But it's a follow-up to Poverty Consciousness, Wealth Consciousness, and Relationship Consciousness. What I'm doing is trying to be a beacon of light and sharing my wins through literary masterpieces to help people evolve.
You know, you touched on something with family, and, you know, you'll see some families where there's a family member that is known for doing wrong and abusing others and mistreating people or whatnot. And family members will tell you, well, you just got to take it because their family, you know, that's just how they are. You know, you can't control the family you were born in.
Right.
And that's not true.
Hmm.
You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, like you said, I don't care who you are. If you do me wrong, I can love you, but I can love you from afar.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to use the excuse that your family to keep allowing that person to keep burning me and using me and, you know, destroying our relationship.
That's real. You know, one thing I found to be true is your spiritual relationship with friends is stronger in most cases than your family relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because your spiritual relationship that you have with people or your spiritual family transcends time, meaning that you more than likely spend more than one lifetime together.
Mm-hmm.
But your bloodline is different. There are some people in your bloodline that you just can't get along with. And it's okay. You don't have to be, you know, you're grown, you go out and meet your own friends.
Mm-hmm.
But your main purpose of your family is for them to cultivate you and grow you and send you off so you can find your spiritual family. You know, your spiritual family in most cases will have more things in common with you.
Yes.
And you'll find that you finally feel free.
Mm-hmm.
You find as if you found your second family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the goal for you to, what I believe the goal is for you to grow to a spiritual tier where you become a beacon of light to inspire your family members to obtain the same spiritual, gains that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can bring them on when you see the ones that are really ready to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're growing spiritual like that, your family's going to still see you as little old Chris, and they're not going to believe that you're as grand as you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my mama knows, but I'll say about 90% of my family really have no idea how special I am. They don't really understand the achievements that I've accomplished,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, and that's cool. You know, not too many people in my family. I think maybe three people in my family has brought my books. But I've had hundreds of my spiritual family to support me. That's proof in the pudding right there. People that know me my whole life won't invest in me. But people who know me for a few months and years buy hundreds of my books.
Yeah.
I've
only had one family member buy my book.
I've had about two.
But I've had a lot of spiritual family people,
yeah.
You know, my spiritual family support me, and, you know, they reach out to me and tell me they're proud of me. They, yeah. you know, sometimes they'll just reach out to me just to say they love me.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about you today. I love you, Divine.
Yeah, I get that too.
You know.
I get that all the time.
And it's like, wow, you know, my own family don't even do that.
And I still love my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't be around my family like that because I know where I'm loved.
Yeah.
And I like to be around people that love me unconditionally.
Yeah.
You know? That's just how I roll. And if you want to win, I suggest you do the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not winning, change up your game. You know? Change up your game. If you want to be wealthy, if you're working for a living, you're not going to be wealthy. I'm just being real with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going waking up going to a place where you don't want to go every day and you having dreams of being wealthy, you need to create you an escape plan.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security is not going to get it.
Sure.
Who wants to wait until they get 60, 70 years old to then kick it? I can barely walk, but I'm finally free. Come on, man. That's a relationship that I want you to develop with yourself. Love yourself enough to know that the universe loves you back. And when you're living righteous, when you're giving light, when you're a beacon of good vibes and things, peace, love, and light, the universe and your ancestors will not let you fail because you're a rarity out here. People think I'm crazy. You leaving all that money, bro? Yeah, because I'm winning. You got to believe it. It's not going to happen overnight. I quit my job. Oh, next day, I'm winning. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to take time. But I got to show myself and the universe that I'm serious. I want to be wealthy out here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be wealthy, buy my books.
That's true.
Buy my books.
So, fam, I think we're going to wrap this up. But next week, we will be back next Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern time, when we will be talking about...
how to make babies.
No.
Oh. I'm just joking.
We're going to do a movie show.
Yes, we're going to do a movie breakdown. We're going to be talking about Coco. If you haven't seen Coco, watch Coco.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll break it down from our enlightened, astute perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Coco, check that out.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some other movies too, but Coco, we saw Coco recently and it just blew us away. So we're definitely going to go in on Coco.
Yeah, we're going all the way in.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, fam, if you would like to learn more about Chris and I, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram under Divine Queen. I have a group on Facebook called I Am Divine. You can also check out my website, iamdivinequeen.com, from there, you can find the different sessions that I offer, different counselings and coachings, readings, tarot, intuitive readings, all kind of fun stuff, as well as different products that I make. And I have a book on Amazon called I Am by Divine Queen. Check that out. It is a collection of short spiritual stories, fiction stories, but not really fiction, but fictional stories about individuals who come into their divine selves.
Mm.
And Chris?
Yeah, I can be reached on Instagram under Chris Enlightened. I share my YouTube videos and all that good stuff. I'm also on Facebook under Chris Enlightened. I also have a Facebook group called An Enlightened Journey, where I share my blogs and things like that. I also have a website, theenlightenedjourney.com, where I have a plethora of services that will help you win, from numerology readings. I do divine spiritual prayer resumes, where I encode your resume, give you a cover letter, redo your resume, then I encode them with three divine prayers that will allow your resume to vibrate higher, and that will ensure you to get a better paying job. What else I do on there? I do consultations, 30 minutes to an hour. I sell my books on my website. You can also go out to YouTube.com and look up THE Enlightened Journey. I have over 90 videos out there of me just giving all my love and light to you, a bunch of jewels. Again, the YouTube play page. If you're listening now, go out to YouTube and please subscribe. THE Enlightened Journey. I have books on Amazon. My first book was called The Enlightened Taught. It's a collection of metaphysical spiritual poems that will surely titillate your frontal lobe. My second book is called Poverty Consciousness. It breaks down all the facets of poverty consciousness and how people see the world different when they embrace a world of poverty and have that mindset. My third book that just dropped out last month is called Wealth Consciousness. And that book just teaches you how to reconstruct a tapestry of your reality and help you gain the wealthy mindset you need to tap into the reservoir of wealth that's all around you at all times. And yeah, that's about it for me, baby.
All right, then. Well, fam, we will be back next Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern time. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm God.
And
I'm Chris Enlightened, family. I like to hear my wife laugh. I always love to hear that sound. I'm Chris Enlightened.
And we will see you next Monday. We'll be going in on different movies. We'll be giving you a spiritual breakdown of our favorite movies that we've recently watched. Also, fam, if you have any topics that you want us to discuss, if you have any movies that you want us to review, give us a shout out on our Facebook page, Twin Flame Radio. You can send us an email at twinflameradio@gmail.com or IamDivineQueen@gmail.com or
TheEnlightenedJourney@gmail.com.
We will respond back to you. And I'm thinking maybe Monday after next, after we do the movie show, I want to go into a magic theme. I want to talk about like magical beings. I want to talk about like fairies.
Let's do that. Let's do that. The gods. Our higher selves.
Yeah.
Who I am in my dream state?
Yeah, I want to dive deep into some magic.
I'm trying to dive so deep that my nose break. That's what I'm going. I'm diving. I'm having my eyes closed, hitting the bottom like boom. I'm diving deep, forehead first deep.
All right, fam. So you heard it here first. Next Monday, we doing movies. Monday after that, we doing magical beans.
Mm.
So make sure to check us out. You can find us on Blog Talk at blogtalkradio.com/twinflameradio. And we will see you next Monday. Sending you out with peace, love, and light.
Eh?